We are live now, and we want you to know that we are happy to be able to be of service to you and look forward to going to the Bible for all the questions that you have pertaining to life and godliness. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, through the knowledge of him, God has supplied to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. So where else can we go but to his word? So let's learn what Jesus, what God has for us as we go to the Bible for the answers to your questions. The lines are both available right now, 308-9564. So now is your chance to get in without having to get a, or just to sit there and let it ring. You can go ahead and call right now to get your question in. 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI to call in your question right now through the voice line. Or if you'd rather, you can text us with your cell phone at, again, that's area, all of our numbers are area code 843, so 843-725-9283. And we will go to the Bible for the question that is on your heart. And we'll give you book, chapter, and verse. And we make no apology for that because you do not want to hear what man has to say, hopefully. And no matter who we are, it's not important. What's important is what does God say in his word? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's the place we should go to be able to find those answers that we need in order to please our Creator. And so please don't miss out on your opportunity to get your question on the air today, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. This is probably the only program that you listen to during the week where you're the one that sets the topic, you set the theme, but God is the one that gives the answer as we go to his word for the answer. So don't miss out in getting your question in today. Now, former questions and former programs can be listened to by going to our website, which is at www.biblealone.com. Biblealone.com, where you can listen to the previous programs, previous broadcasts, or if you have a friend or relative that lives outside this broadcast area, you can have them go to our website, BibleAlone.com, and they can click the live stream button, and thus also anywhere in the world be tuned in as we study together. So if you have a friend or relative, be sure to let them know that the phone numbers are area code 843 so they can participate as well. One other way to tune in is through an app. If you have a smartphone or know them that has one, they can download the TuneIn app and listen to this program as well just by tuning in to WJNI in Charleston, South Carolina, 106.3, and they can tune in, listen right now as well anywhere in the world. So there's no reason why you or your friends and relatives cannot join us right now to be able to get all your questions answered live on today's broadcast. Again, the voice line is 308-9564, and the text line is 725-9283.
Once again, we are live, and we appreciate so much you taking the time out this Sunday afternoon to be with us. This is a live call-in question and answer broadcast, and we just want to hear your questions. We want you to call in, ask your questions, so we can go to God's word for the answer. Maybe there is something that happened to you throughout this week in your life, or maybe you want to know more about what God says in terms of how you can be closer to him in your relationship with him, how you can serve him better, love him more. Maybe you need some guidance on how to do that. You thought about it and you want some help with that. Well, we are here to help you grow in your relationship with God. And that is why we are here. We don't seek any kind of praise or celebrity or anything like that. We want to help you grow in your relationship with God and get to heaven, knowing his word, studying his word, obeying his word, applying it to your life. So as you apply it to your life, you can live out your faith and be able to show yourself approved unto God. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2 tells us that we should be diligent or study to show yourself approved unto God, to be a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So understanding that the word of truth, God's word, you know, you have to rightly divide that. You know, you have to be able to apply the lessons and situations that they are supposed to be applied to. And we want to encourage you in that.
What does rightly divide mean in that passage? Some people in the radio audience might not recognize what that means.
Well, you want to know that God's word, that he has places where certain things are meaning something, and you have to be able to recognize what God's word means where he says something. And so when you rightly divide the word of truth, you must know that you have to apply God's word to your life. Certain passages are supposed to help you in certain situations, and you must be able to apply that. And so we are here to help you learn how to apply that. And we just want to continue to encourage each and every one of you to do that, because that's how we are going to grow in our faith and get results in your faith. You know, the only way you can get results in your faith is if you live out your faith. We are trying to be here to make ourselves available to help you do that, because we are very, very sincere when we just ask you to call in your questions and we can go to God's words for the answers.
We have a caller from the last three digits of 697 calling in this question. It says, many who claim to be full gospel reject some scripture, claiming that it is a Pharisee or not from God. What is the best reply to that? Well, I would first direct them to John chapter 16 and verse 13, where Jesus was gathered with his apostles, and he gave them some final instructions before leaving and going back to heaven. He said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." So Jesus promised them, after warning them, I've got many things to say to you, but you can't bear it right now. And so I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. Well, one of those men standing there that day was Peter. And when Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, that we now have all things that pertain to life and godliness, that meant all things, just like Jesus promised. I'm going to guide you into all truth. Peter said, we now, through the knowledge of him, have all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so now the only thing that remains, the question that could remain, would be, has that word, that truth, been lost through the years? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, it talks about the word of God. And it says that having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So this word, after being revealed, was not going to get lost through the years. It was going to continue forever. And the word of God endures forever. So no matter what kind of attacks or what kind of embattlements were going to happen in the future, it was not going to pass away. So it was not a Pharisee. It was not a matter of being a man putting down a collection of writings. It was not of any private interpretation. That's in 1 Corinthians.
No, that's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20.
Thank you. 1 Peter, that's why we have two behind the microphone. And so it was not of private interpretation at all. Paul said that he wrote by inspiration. He wrote it down, whereby when we read, we may understand God's knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And so, thus, we have to read it and study it today. And that passage in Peter is...
Now, 1 Peter to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21.
So. All right. And so, we know that it's not coming from man's opinions, but they wrote it down for us. So, thank you, caller. We sure do appreciate this and hope and pray that that has been helpful to you. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's the voice line, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
Yes, we continue to encourage you to do that. You know, we make ourselves available. We're putting ourselves out there for your benefit. And as long as you are able to hear our voice and understand the things that we're saying, then you put yourself in a position of being able to submit to the will of God. And so when you submit to the will of God, you're allowing him to shape your life and you're trusting him with it. You're saying, Lord, you are the one that knows all. You know what's best for me and for my life. You created me and you and created me for a purpose with intent. And so we just want to help you to live out that intent and live out that purpose. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And, you know, obedience, we like to sometimes overlook. But Jesus wants us to know that that is how we show our love for him. We continue to understand and learn more of what his will is. And when we understand and know what his will is, we actually have to go out and do it. We actually have to go out and live it. That's where the obedience comes from. The obedience comes from knowing God's word and applying it to your life and actually doing it. You know, James 1 verse 22 talks about be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And so we deceive ourselves if we hear God's word and we do not do God's word or live God's word. We are deceiving ourselves and we are not walking in our purpose and we are not walking in his will. And that's where the problems and the issues continue to come up from. And we don't overcome them like we're supposed to, like we were created to overcome those issues, overcome those problems. But we can't do that if we're not submissive to God's will. And that's what we want to continue to encourage you to do. We are about to tell you about a Bible correspondence course. We're going to go to break here in just a second to tell you about a Bible correspondence course that can really help you in growing in your relationship with God and really help you learning God's will and being able to apply it to your life. So we're going to go to this break and we're going to tell you about this correspondence course. And we encourage you to sign up for it. We encourage you to take action and take control of your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it can encourage you to learn more, to apply God's words to your life to be able to help you. Even while we're at break, you can go ahead and call in your questions at 308-9564. 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live now, and we are honored to be able to be of service. We hope and pray that you are ready to call in your questions to 308-9564. This October the 4th weekend has been quite a flooding situation here in the Charleston area. Those of y'all that are listening from other parts of the world, it's been quite a deluge, and so hopefully it is just about to move away and that things may be able to dry out. And so we are glad to be able to be of service, even though that things may be good and wet where you're at, but go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564, or if you'd rather text in your question, you can text it to 725-9283. Concerning the Bible correspondence course we just told you about, please know that it is absolutely free. And what is so beneficial about it is that you will get far more out of studying the scriptures for yourself, even more than listening to us on the radio. That is just normal. God's word was intended to be personal. That is for us to get in there and find the treasure that God intended for us to have. So you can study at your own convenience. We will send it to you in the mail 24/7. You can study in the morning or in the evening or whenever you want to choose. You can study at the right time for you so that you can concentrate, and thus you're going to be blessed from such as that. So please don't miss out on getting the correspondence course to you. To be able to enroll in that, to be able to ask us to send it to you, all you have to do is to call 553-5157, 553-5157, and when the operator answers, then you can leave your at the sound of the tone, you can leave your name and address, and it will be in the mail to you even this week. So please don't miss out on that. One more time, that number is 553-5157. And so we want you to join us right now. If you have a question, you can call us at 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will be glad to answer your question live over the air even today. And so we have George calling in this question.
Yeah, George calls in. George, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast, and we appreciate you calling your question. George asks, where did Cain's wives come from? We see this in Genesis in chapter 4 and 5, well, specifically chapter 4, after Cain had killed Abel. He went out, and in verse 17, it says, and Cain knew his wife, and she bore him a son, Enoch. And so George asked the question, well, where did this wife come from? And, well, we must know that, first of all, we can't allow ourselves to get caught up in missing time, the passage of time within the scriptures. If you look at Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain. And in verse 2, the very next verse, it says, then she bore again, this time Abel, his brother. So, and then later on in verse 3, the very next verse, it says, and in the process of time, it came to pass. You know, so that's three different verses. There's a lot of time that passed just within those three verses. You had the time where Cain was born in verse 1, and then Abel was born in verse 2, and then verse 3 says in the process of time, and it talked about them giving offerings, Cain giving offerings to the Lord in verse 3, and that Abel gave an offering to the Lord in verse 4. Well, they probably grew to the point where they were, you know, can't speculate how old, but, you know, maybe teenagers or 20s or whatever the case may be, but they weren't just little children. They had grown and mature to become older. So in those three verses, we see a lot of passage of time. And so there was time that passed to where Adam and Eve, they were under commandment to be fruitful and to multiply. They were under that commandment. And we see that in Genesis chapter 3. And so God, had that commandment from God, and they did that, and they lived, Adam, 926 years. We don't know specific years of Eve lived, but they lived a long time. And in verse 20 of chapter 3 in Genesis, it says something that answers your question. It says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And so where did Cain get his wife from? He got his wife from his parents, just where he got his brothers from. Adam and Eve had lots of children throughout the years. We don't know in a specific amount, a specific time, because all scripture tells us is, and they had sons and daughters. And so, yes, at that time, that's where he got his wife from. One of those, the many children of Adam and Eve. If you're kind of grossed out or confused about that, the incest did not become a sin until later on, and when God commanded that you shouldn't do that anymore. But when the earth first was started, and it was only Adam and Eve populating the earth, that's the only place they would have been able to continue populating the earth from. So hopefully that's been clear to you. Hopefully that answers your question, George. We appreciate it. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. 308-9564. The text line is also available. You can text in your questions at 725-9283, 725-9283.
We want to also encourage you to consider enrolling in our correspondence course, which is absolutely free as well. You may discover some vital truths there that you've never seen before. Some of these truths that are in God's Word may prevent us from going to heaven one day if we are not aware of them. There are things that God tells us in His Word that man is not necessarily pointing out. Let me repeat that. There are things in God's Word that, because of one reason or another, man is not free. They are compelled, or actually it would get in trouble if they were to reveal some of these things by their denominational government, those that are over them, and they would be in trouble. So it's best that we go and study the Bible for ourselves and find out the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Have you ever been to a court of law where, when they swear in, they will call someone to put their hand on the Bible, and they will ask you to agree to something like that? Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if they require that in a court of law, then how come churches are not required to do that? Yeah, that's right. They must be found within the denominational borders which defines them, which whatever denomination it is or train of faith that man has formulated, those are the parameters that they must remain in order to be able to be found in that faith or that system of faith, and thus you're not getting the whole truth, or maybe things are being added to that truth. If it were a measuring tape and we were working on a construction site, if we were to use the measuring tape the way many churches are using the Bible, how long would we last on a construction site? How long would it take for our boss to look at us and say, "Are you crazy? Don't you know that 3 foot is 3 foot? That doesn't mean 3 foot 10 inches. It doesn't mean 26 inches. Why are you doing this?" And if we consistently started doing that, we would get fired from that construction job. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if there can be a standard of measurement on a construction site, why can't there be a standard of measurement in a religious group? There can be. It is called the Bible. And thus we've got to let the Bible speak if we're going to keep from being fired by God one day. You see, God has prepared a place for the devil and his angels. They've tried this already, and he cast them out. And so Jesus came to become a Savior for mankind. And he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." That would be us, mankind. Jesus said, "Already prepared a place for the devil and his angels. And so we've got to decide, whose side are we on? Are we going to be on the side where God has prepared a place more beautiful than anything this universe he's created just by speaking? Anything more beautiful than this? Can you imagine that? Why not? Let's listen to him to find that place called heaven that he has prepared. The only way we can do that is to get into his word and find the truth, the whole truth, right now. So go ahead and call 553-5157, and we will send this course to you absolutely free in the mail this week, and you can be able to be on your way to finding all of the truth that God expects us to follow. Chuck?
You know, Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now see, as soon as you decide to believe that verse, you must, by extension, believe the verses that come after it. And I'm not just talking about Genesis 1, the rest of the creation story that God created the world. But yeah, continue on, go past that. You keep going on, you go all the way from Genesis to Exodus to Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you keep going on. You hit the history books, you hit the major prophets, the poetry books, the minor prophets. You keep going on. You hit the New Testament, the Gospels, the Acts, the Pauline epistles, the general epistles. You keep going on, and you get all the way to Revelation. You get all the way to Revelation chapter 22, and you get all the way to the end of that verse. And when he says, "I'm coming quickly," you must decide that when you accept and believe that God created this universe, that God created all creation, as soon as you decide to believe Genesis chapter 1, that he created everything, and you believe the rest of the verses, the rest of his word that is contained all the way to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21, it says, "The graces of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." That's after he says, "Surely I am coming quickly." So he tells us he's coming. Everything in between, you know, you have to make the decision. Are you going to believe that? Are you going to follow in that? That's what we're here to help you with. That's what we're here to help you understand. And like we mentioned earlier, how God tells us to rightly divide the word of truth. You have to know, you know, the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You have to know these things. You have to be able to understand what God means when he says something And then a little bit further on, he says something else. And you have to be able to put those things together and connect the dots and make those things match. You know, Ephesians talks about God as having manifold wisdom. It says the manifold wisdom of God. That means many folds. That means there's many different layers to God's wisdom. He reveals a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there. That is the essence of the manifold wisdom of God, many folds, many different layers of God's wisdom. And he knows we're feeble-minded humans and we can only take in bits and pieces of it at a time. And so that's what his word is designed to look like, to where he reveals a little bit of it here, a little bit of it there, because he knows that's how we are able to take it all in, because his ways are so much higher than our ways and his thoughts so much higher than our thoughts. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. And so when we encourage you to sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course, when we encourage you to call in your questions and text in your questions, is because we are trying to do our best to help you learn more and grow more closer in your relationship to Christ. And so that's what we continue to try to do. We're going to go to our next break, where even while we are at break, we continue to encourage you to sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course. Take advantage of that opportunity that you can take hold of your growth in Christ and your walk in Christ, and you're learning what God's will is for your life, and you accepting and obeying God's will for your life. That's what the Bible Correspondence Course is for. And so we continue to encourage you to do that. But even while we're at break telling you about that, we ask you, go ahead, call in your questions at 308-9564, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live, and thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We really, really do appreciate it, and we hope you're getting something out of the broadcast. We hope that it is an encouragement to you, and we hope that it's edifying and building you up in the most holy faith, because that's the only reason we continue to do it. We get calls, we get people calling in for the Bible Correspondence Course. We get people signing up for that every single week. There's new people calling and signing up for that, and we're thankful for that. And we want to get in front of you. And that's another thing that we want you to know. We want the opportunity to be in front of you, meet you face to face, and to talk with you about God, you know, in your home or wherever you're most comfortable at, wherever you would like to meet us at. We just want to be able to start to know and get to know and learn the people who are listening to the broadcast and signing up for the Correspondence Course and taking part in the Dollar Bible Study. We want to be able to meet you and see you. And so we encourage you to do that. If you are interested in that, you can call the 553-5157 number, and you can look. And we want you to know that you can let your voice be heard, that you want to be able to set up a Let the Bible Speak in your home, that you want us to come by for a study, that you want to meet and talk with us face to face. And that's what we would be delighted to do, is to help you closer and closer in your relationship with God. So we encourage you to do that. We want you to do that. Let that be known to us if that's your desire. But while we are here, please continue to call in your questions at 308-9564, 308-9564.
Don't miss out on getting your question on the air today. Not only can you use the voice line, 308-9564, but you can also text directly to us here in the studio. And that number, the text line, is 843-725-9283. So don't miss out on getting your question on the air today. Again, the text line is 725-9283. We have George calling in this question. He wants to know, why did God have all the innocent firstborn killed in Egypt? Well, George, that was one of the plagues that was given, and it was given by the Pharaoh himself. And thus, it was his choice from that standpoint. And so that was something that was, again, an insult. All of the plagues were an insult to the Egyptian gods. And so when you look and you consider there how that unfolded, there was a purpose behind it, not only to insult those that were worshipped, whether it was bugs or the Nile River or cow or even the sun, that it was an insult to all those, but the children of Israel had been subjugated to that practice for 430 years. And so they had been watching that going on and inundated by that. And so as he brought them out to worship him, the only true God, he wanted them to know that all of those false gods that the Egyptians had been worshiping were truly no God at all, in which one of them was ancestries as well. Well, your second question is, and what is the age of accountability, and what age is it when children's sin are held against them? Well, George, there is no verse of Scripture that says that. It has to do with the person themselves. When you look in Ezekiel chapter 18, we find clearly that sin is not something that someone is born with from the parents or from their lineage. Matter of fact, in Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, it just simply puts it this way. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. I know that doesn't answer your question as far as an age, because the Bible simply does not say an age. It would be when that soul is old enough to go against what God says. That would be a definition of sin. Transgression of the law. 1 John 3 and verse 4, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, Chuck? Transgression of the law. 1 John 3 and verse 4. And I'll be turning to it to double check. And so that is the definition of sin, that we make certain that we are walking according to God's word so that we will not be transgressing and going beyond what the law says. Yes, 1 John 3 and verse 4. And so we've got to stick with what God says when a child is old enough to recognize that there's a God, and then he goes against that law, whatever that law may be, whether it's disobeying parents, dishonoring parents, or kicking somebody in the shin, whatever the case may be, it is then when they sin against God and they have earned death. The wage of sin is death. And so, George, there is no verse of Scripture that says a date or a time or an age. If, for example, let's say if someone had a car accident at 5 years old, and from that day forward, they never matured another day mentally, well, they would never sin against God because they cannot comprehend him. And so it has a lot to do with each one of us individually. George, I'm just thankful I'm not God, aren't you? Having to figure all that out and see into everybody's heart and mind and know exactly what the thoughts and intents of their heart are. All we know is he's able to do it because he says his word is able to do it. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to discern between thought and intent of the heart, it goes on to say in that verse. So if his word can discern it, then certainly he can. And I'm glad that as we all study, we can learn and know where we stand with God. Thank you, George. That's a wonderful question. We sure appreciate it. And thank you for your participation in today's broadcast. Now, we've noticed that some of you have shown interest in this Bible correspondence course today. And those of you that have an interest, there is no reason why you should not go ahead and call 553-5157 to be able to get this Bible study. I guess you might say that it is a solution. It is the answer to a puzzle that you really need. It is a lock that is unlocking the treasure in God's Word. If you will just call 553-5157, you will discover the treasure that's there in that book, the Bible. And you might be able to discover things that you've never seen before, but more importantly, you may find the truth that will set you free at last. Studying for yourself will build that kind of faith that God wants us all to have. So let's not let the world or our preacher or pastor or our parents or anyone else Let's not put our trust in them. Let us find the answers for ourselves. So go ahead and call 553-5157. 553-5157. Get the course on its way to you, and you will be able to discover the riches of His grace that He deeply wants to give you. Chuck?
You know, for those of you who have listened to the broadcast in the past, and those of you listening, you might kind of think to yourself, why do these guys always focus on personal Bible study? Why do these guys always talk about the importance of studying God's word for yourself? Well, one of the reasons why is because of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. There's an admonition there that we really, really take seriously. And in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, God's word says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." That's why we put the focus on personal Bible study, on individual Bible study, on you learning God's word for yourself and not putting your faith in another man of what God's word says. Not putting your faith in another man of how to apply God's word to your life. That's why we put so much emphasis on studying God's word for yourself. Because there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. There are a lot of false teachers out there in the world. And so we want you to look in God's word so you can make sure that we're not falsely teaching. So you can make sure that, hey, yep, God's word sure says that. That's all these guys are doing on the radio is pointing out what God's word says. That's why we put so much emphasis on learning God's word for yourself. Because at the end of the day, when you are face to face with God in judgment, you will have to give an account for yourselves. You know, Romans 14 says that, Hebrews chapter 9, and other scriptures also, 2 Corinthians 5. You will have to give an account of your own self, of your own actions, whether good or bad. And so that's why we don't want you taking our words for it. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to anyone else who is not telling you, "Thus saith the Lord." Here's what God's word says, and here's where you can find, go find what God's word says. That's why we put the emphasis on what God's word says and learning it yourself and not taking man's word for it. Because you don't want to be in a position where you listen to what someone said and they were wrong and you didn't go check it out for yourself. That's not a good position that you want to be in.
We are about to go to break, and as we go to break, I wanted to go ahead and read you this question that we're going to answer after the break. The question that just came in from 113, last three digits of the phone number, is, it's a great question, Chuck, where is the line between being ambitious through faith and being content? That's a really good question, isn't it? Mm. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the caller. And that we're going to deal with that question as soon as we get back from our break. And please know, while we are at break, keep the questions coming in. The number is 308-9564, or you can text us, as this last caller did, at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We want you to know that we are happy to be able to be online, to be able to help you with your questions, and hopefully be able to find the answers that God wants you to hear from His Word. Right before the break, we had someone text in this question, where is the line between being ambitious through faith and being content? Caller, I would suggest to you that the line is when it becomes idolatry. Certainly, this would be a line that the Scriptures bring out. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, God says, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth," and He lists fornication, unclean, and passion, evil desire, "and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming soon upon sons of disobedience." And so He tells us there that is idolatry, or covetousness is idolatry. And so that would certainly be a line that would be that God has drawn in the sand, so to speak, that we must pay attention to. Then also 1 Timothy chapter 5, I mean chapter 6, beginning with verse 6, that's 1 Timothy 6:6, says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And so hopefully that is helpful to you as well. But as far as being ambitious, as far as doing the best that we can do, well, God actually tells us to do that. It says it in Colossians 3 and also Ephesians chapter 6. Let me turn to the Ephesians passage where it uses slave and master terminology, of which we are not accustomed to today in our society. But here's what he says. "Servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, which are with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ." So we're supposed to serve as if we're serving the Lord, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether slave or free. So every single verse he points out, we're serving the Lord. That's who we're focused on. So our ambition, our desire, our very motivation of our heart beating is to serve the Lord. That's where we need to focus. Chuck, you have something on that?
Yeah, just real quick, wanted to add a texter while we were in the break. I was thinking, I was like, that's a question I'm going to have to give a lot of thought and time to. But as Ricky was talking, one of the things that came to my mind, you talk about ambition, you think of zealous, you think of the desire you're supposed to have in serving the Lord. And in Romans 12 and verse 11, he talks about not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit serving the Lord. So this service of the Lord, this walk with Christ we're supposed to be on, it's supposed to be enthusiastic. It's supposed to be zealous. People should look at you and see your faith and say, wow, is that what being one with God looks like? Is that what having a relationship with Christ looks like? Man, I need to get me some of that. That's what our faith is supposed to look like. And if you will look over in Hebrews chapter 5, towards the end, in verse 12, he starts talking about that you should be able to teach people, but you didn't grow and you still need someone to give you milk and not solid food. And then verse 14, he says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age," or mature is the idea, "that by reason, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Texter, that's where you draw the line. You draw the line by God's word. You have to know, you have to exercise God's word. You have to live God's word. You have to do God's word. And the more you do that, see here, by reason of use of God's word, that's how you have your senses exercised to where you'll be able to discern both good and evil. You'll be able to look and recognize from God's will and from God's word to understand, okay, in this situation, I need to respond this way. By this situation, I need to respond that way. And it all has to be in line with God's will and in line with God's word. But you won't do that if you don't get in God's word first yourself. And getting in God's word first to understand and learn, and then applying those things learned and living those things, that is having your senses exercised. He says by reason of use, you have your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That is where it comes from. So, Texter, I just wanted to throw that in there to help you with that. just to make sure we know that that's where we draw the line in our faith, and that's where we can know the difference from having ambition and being content, because God calls us to action. There is absolutely no doubt about that. God calls us to action, along with the verse that I looked at just a few seconds ago there in Romans 12 to say it's not lacking in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We also see 2 Timothy chapter 2 is another place in Scripture where God calls us to action. Once again, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, he says, a servant of the Lord. You want to be a servant of the Lord, don't you? He says, 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all and able to teach. Patient and in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God will grant the repentance so that they may know the truth. So there, God calls us to action. He says a servant of the Lord must do those things, not quarrel, be gentle, able to teach, and patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. So he says that about a servant of God. He doesn't say someone who's specifically in any other position or role in the church. He is specifically talking about just a servant of God. You want to be a servant of God, don't you? You consider yourself a servant of God or a follower of God. Well, then that verse applies to you. Going a little bit further, well, before in Scripture, we see 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And here's another verse. Here's another passage where God calls us into action. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, he says, therefore, we make it our aim or our goal, what we seek after, what our priority is. That's what our aim is, your priority, your goal. He says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Verse 11, here's where he calls us into action. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in our consciences. And then further on in chapter 5, when you get down to verse 17, he talks about if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Talks about being reconciled. And then verse 20, he says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Or we beg you, we plead with you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God.
Ladies and gentlemen, we just found out that we're having a problem with our phone. The 308 number is not working, and we apologize for that. We just now figured it out. And so for all of you that have been calling, there have been a bunch of you called and could not get through. All we could hear was the phone ring. We could not actually hear you talking, you could hear us. And so I tested it just now. So we've got a new number. If you don't mind, those of you that tried to get through and were not able to get through, here's the phone number to call. It is, again, area code 843, but the new number is 614-4161. 614-4161. You can call and get through, and that line seems to be working fine. Again, that number is 614-4161. So those of you that have been trying to get through, now you can do that. Only thing we ask is make certain that you just let the phone ring until we get to you. We can only talk to one at a time. One more time, that number is 614-4161. 4161. So go ahead and call, and you can get your question in right now, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. We have a follow-up question here from the previous one. It says, what was Jesus meaning when he said, what goes in you defiles? And so it's not it's actually said the opposite of that. It says it's not what goes in you that defiles you. It's what comes out of you, out of your heart, that will defile a man. And so that is what the point there is, that our heart is what generates our thoughts and our communications. And so we've got to make certain that we speak from the truth, and to let him be the one that is making us into the image that he wants us to be. And so we will talk more on that in just a second, but we want you to know that we are going to break right now. The number to call for the correspondence course is 553-5157, and we're happy to send that to you absolutely free, so don't miss out on that. That, again, for the correspondence course is 553-5157. Or if you want to go ahead and call in your question right now, the voice line is 614-4161, and we will let the Bible speak. We are live again, and we want you to know we apologize for the first half of the program that we were not aware of the voice line not working. There is another line now. You can call 614-4161, and that is the line to get through for the having your question written down and brought in to us. Again, that's 614-4161. That's the voice line for the rest of today's program. So please mark that down, and as soon as you can get through, or as soon as we can pick up, we'll write the question, the answer will be written down and brought into us. 614-4161. But now, just because of that, we don't want you to also, those of you that have never enrolled in the correspondence course, please don't neglect getting that in the mail to you this week. That number for the correspondence course is 553-5157. And you can call that number, and we will be glad to send the correspondence course to you free of charge. 553-5157. And you will be able to get the course in the mail this week. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is the God of this world has been very, very active and successful at making certain that people have blinders on their hearts to where that they're not seeing the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Matter of fact, Satan himself is described as an angel of light seeking whom he can devour. And so it is no wonder that his ministers are also deceiving. So there's only one way to know whether someone is speaking for the God of this world, the devil, or whether they're speaking for the God of the universe, which is God. And that's based upon what his word says, the Bible. That is the only standard of authority that we can use to judge where this information is coming from. So those of you that are students of his word, please know that that's the only place we're going to send you is to book, chapter, and verse to find the answer. And so please go ahead, if you've never gotten the Bible correspondence course, enroll right now at 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send this to you absolutely free. Now, before the break, we had this question come in that we want to address, and the question was, what was Jesus meaning when he says, what goes in you defiles? That's Matthew chapter 15 and verse 11. He called a multitude and said to them, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man. He goes on and gives an illustration about how that you will know people by their fruit and what they're doing, and calling these leaders, in this context, blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both will fall in the ditch. And so he lets them have it, letting them know that what was coming out of their heart was indeed bad. But that principle is also true of us today as well. The Lord tells us that we are to judge. We're to judge righteous judgment. And the very chapter in Matthew chapter 7 where most people quote, judge not that you be not judged, is the same chapter where he says, you will know them by their fruit and that we are to judge. Ladies and gentlemen, just read the context, read the chapter. Earlier today, I had someone question and ask a question. Oh, it was last night. I had a question, and all I did was I told him, I said, well, just read on. So he read one verse, and then I said, just read on. And so he read on the next verse, the next verse, the next verse. And then he said, oh, okay, now I get it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, God's word is simple. Man is the one that messes it up. taking it out of context, just giving you a partial truth, and then putting all of these things together that they may come up with to come up with some kind of theory that is totally different than what the Bible says. So isn't it time that we quit letting whoever manipulate the truth and find the truth for ourselves and study it? Go ahead and get the course in the mail to you, 308-9564, and you will be able to study it anytime you want. If you're a night owl, you can study it at 9. If you're a morning glory, well, you can get up first thing in the morning and spend time with God, letting Him mold your heart and make you into what He wants you to be. So go ahead and get this in the mail to you, 553-5157. Now, if you have a question, the lines are both available, I think, or maybe we just have one again. The number is 614-4161. So if you didn't get in earlier, please forgive us that we didn't know that line was out of order, but it is 614-4161, and that is the voice line you can get in right now. Or if you'd rather, you can just text us at 725-9283.
We have Leslie calling in this question. Leslie, thank you for listening to broadcast, and thank you for calling your question. She asks, is there a pattern for worship? Leslie, that is a great question, and honestly, that's a question that probably is overlooked a lot of times, and it's something that's really important because we have to be able to recognize that there are literally thousands of different sets of beliefs within Christianity, what you would call it, within people that believe that Christ came on earth and He was the Son of God and He came to die for our sins. But there are literally thousands of different groups that worship different and serve from different and teach different. And so there's a little bit of here, a little bit of there, some differences. And so the question of if there's a specific pattern for worship or if certain places worship right and certain places worship wrong, that is definitely a question that we should consider and that we should ask. It's really important because Christ Himself said that there are people who worship Him in vain. In Matthew chapter 15, He warns the Pharisees there about them, and He actually says that they are the fulfillment of prophecy. In Matthew 15, verse 7, He says, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain, so useless, or pointless, they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Once again, ladies and gentlemen, like we mentioned earlier, that's another reason why we are so strict on book, chapter, verse and pointing you to God's word, because we don't want you to follow us as thinking that we are teaching doctrines of man, our commandments of men. We don't want you to believe it. That's why we point you to God's word. So, Leslie, there is definitely a pattern for worship. There is definitely a right way to worship God and a wrong way to worship God. And we must be able to recognize that in the New Testament. Now, Romans 15:4 tells us that the Old Testament was written for our learning. So there are things that we can learn from the Old Testament. And if you look at Exodus chapter 25 and verse 40, you know, God was telling Moses that there are certain ways that the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be made and the golden lampstand. And there's so many different elements that were involved in the Old Testament in worship and then their sacrifices. And in Exodus 25 and verse 40, when God's kind of coming to the end of telling Moses all these different patterns and ways that they're supposed to be able to worship Him, He says, Exodus 25, verse 40, "And see that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain." So God had a specific pattern. He had a specific way that He wanted the worship to be done within the Old Testament with the children of Israel. Very similar to what He told Noah. He told Noah to build the ark in a very specific way, in a very specific pattern. So God, He does care about the specifics. He does care about the details. And so in terms of worship in the New Testament, we have so many different places where He gives us the bits and pieces of what we should do and what we shouldn't do. A lot of those are included in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. So, you know, I'm not going to necessarily go through and specifically point through each and every one. But there's a lot of different ways. I'm sorry, I said first chapter 12, chapter 11. So from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it shows you about, it talks about head coverings in the first part of the chapter. And then it talks about the Lord's Supper in the second part of the chapter. Chapter 12 talks about spiritual gifts and the right way and the wrong way to give out and show those spiritual gifts. Chapter 13, it kind of continues on about the spiritual gifts. It talks about love, but still talk about the gifts. Chapter 14 is very, it involves a lot concerning the worship service. It uses the phrase in the churches or gathered together as a church. In verse 23, it says, therefore, when you come together as a whole church. And in verse 28, it talks about in the church. In verse 33, it talks about in all the churches of the saints. And so there is a lot of verses in chapter 14 that talks about in the church. And so honestly, Leslie, there is a lot to go through if you want to talk about specifically what should be included in the worship. There should be giving as far as contribution. There should be the Lord's Supper. There should be singing. There should be praying. And there should be preaching and teaching or exhortation. And so there's a lot more that we could go into detail on that. And Leslie, if you would like to go on our website, www.biblealone.com, there's a lot of different studies there that can kind of point you towards certain sections that would be able to help you in learning more about specific patterns for worship. Or you can call 553-5157, and when you get to leave your message, you let us know, hey, I'm Leslie, I called in that question and I want to know more about the right way to worship. We would be delighted to help you in that.
That's exactly right. We are so thankful that you show your heart that way and you want to see what God says in his word and that you desire to honor him. And so we are thrilled to be able to be of service and be glad to share with you any of our resources. And thank you so much for gracing our program with your heart and allowing us to be able to point out some things in God's word. As you may fit right into that same kind of pattern as Leslie. And so we would also encourage you to see what God says on the subjects of your heart. We've got one more section left of this program left, and we want you to know that you can call 614-4161. That is the voice line, 614-4161, and we'll be glad to answer your question on today's broadcast. That's the voice line. Your question would be written down and brought into us, or you can text us at 725-9283. That is the text line. And so please don't miss out on this. We have just a couple of, one more minute before we go to break. Let me deal with this question, a follow-up concerning the question earlier concerning what Jesus said in reference to what goes into your mouth. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles a man. Does that mean, is he talking just about food? Well, yes, of course, that is what he's talking about as far as going into your mouth. And thus, in the New Testament, the new way, Acts chapter 10 shows that God cleansed the foods, and there is no such thing as food restrictions as there was in the Old Testament. And then also, 1 Timothy, or is it 2 Timothy, talking about 4, that
2 Timothy,
where the food is now cleansed through prayer. And thus that's enabling us to be able to eat according to the, it is 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, that those things are cleansed through prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And so that way you can know that it's not talking about what's going in that defiles, but what comes out, as we discussed earlier. Thank you so much. That was from a text question earlier. It's time for us to take our last break. Please, ladies and gentlemen, don't miss out on getting the course to you. Here's more information on it. If you have a question, call right now, 614-4161, and we will let the Bible speak.
We are back once again. We are live, and this is our last segment. This is our last time, your last chance to call in your questions at 614-4161, 614-4161. That is the number that we're having to use today. As we mentioned earlier, there was a problem with our normal number. So if you want to call in your questions before the end of the broadcast, you got about 10 more minutes left, and you can get your question answered, and we will let the Bible speak. Once again, that's 614-4161. 4161, 614-4161.
Or if you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283. Either way, don't miss out on getting your question on today's broadcast, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. The reason this is so very important is that this is the only thing that should matter in this life. We talked about earlier how that we should be content with food and clothing, and there's a pattern that God, that's God's definition of what it is that we should be concerned with most of all. It is not about, it's not even about the food and clothing Matthew chapter 6 brings out. He says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, these things, that is food and clothing, will be added to you. God promises that, and God has never let us down on the promise. Ladies and gentlemen, but we here in the United States, we live so far above that level of prosperity, it is just absolutely absurd. And yet sometimes because maybe a dishwasher breaks or the garbage disposal is not working or maybe because we got a flat tire, you know, our whole world comes crushing down. Ladies and gentlemen, we just may have an idol there. Yep. Anytime we would put things of this life before God and cause us to put him on the back burner for anything like that, well, then we have just become idolatrous. We've put something before God. This is very important that we find what God wants for us here and now while we live in this body. In James chapter 4, in verse 14, it likens this life to a vapor that appears for just a little time and then vanishes away. Have you ever boiled water on the stove and seen that steam just kind of come up and hover a little bit and then it disappears? That's our life. That's how short our life is compared to eternity. So why would we dare even consider putting eternity at risk because of this life or anything in this life? And so there's nothing wrong with doing our best. There's nothing wrong with being ambitious as long as our greatest ambition and vocation is God of heaven and heaven above. Then everything else will just fit right in place. I've said many times and favorite saying of mine, if everything is right vertically with God, then everything in this life horizontally, in this plane, this earthly plane that we live on, everything here will take care of itself. So let's just get the right things right, the first things first, and the eternal things of highest priority, and God himself will be able to be the one in control of our lives, and we'll be able to be a glory to his name. You know, it'd just be amazing. Won't it be one day when we stand before him, the one that spoke this universe into existence, if we have held true to his word, worshiped him in spirit and truth, and walked according to his light, his message, his pattern, his authority, for him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Right now it speaks of when someone does what is right, that heaven breaks out in joy. Hell breaks out in rage. And so if you can imagine that kind of reaction one day when it's all going to be up to him, wow, how great is that day going to be? And so let's make certain that we are going to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, just because we're religious, Matthew 7, verse 21 says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Then he goes on to say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And in your name done many wonders? And then I, just as Jesus talking, then I will say, depart from me, you who practiced lawlessness. Wow. We do not want to hear that. No, we do not. We want to hear the words, well done, enter into the joys of the Lord. That's what it's all about. Ladies and gentlemen, is that your ambition as well? Let's make certain that we're walking according to truth. Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you call me Lord, then we must be doing what he says. And so let's make certain that we are ready to face him every day, starting with today. Go ahead and get this course in the mail to you to begin your journey of an eternity to please God. 553-5157. That is the number to call for the correspondence course to help you in this journey. Please, it's absolutely free. We will never ask for money. Please put away your checkbook. Put away your wallet. Do not send us your tithes and offering. Let us send you the treasure. Let us help you unlock the treasure that is sitting right there in front of you, God's Word.
We have a caller calling in this question saying, when Moses said to Pharaoh, let my people go, in today's time, would Pharaoh be similar to the government? Well, caller, just so my first inclination is to say yes, that would be similar to the government trying to get you to do something against God. But just to look a little bit deeper into the context, we must understand that the situation with Moses and Pharaoh and the people of Israel, that was a specific situation that God had allowed to happen to fulfill his will and fulfill his purpose. See Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, verse 13, it says, the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time, I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and your people, that they may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. If you look at the situation there with Moses and the people, 10 separate times, there was 10 plagues and God sent each of those plagues. If you didn't know this, each of those plagues was a direct attack on one of the gods that the people of Egypt used to worship and bow down to. Every single one of those. So you may not know that, but you dig a little bit deeper and you understand kind of some of the things of the Egyptians. Every one of those 10 plagues was God showing superiority over all the gods of the people of Egypt. And God allowed Pharaoh to be in that position to have such a hard heart to not let his people go. If you read through the context, you'll see many times where it says God hardens Pharaoh's heart. And you may seem like, wait a minute, God's, you know, forcing him to do this or forcing him to do that. No, God he created Pharaoh and he knew the type of heart that Pharaoh had. He knew Pharaoh had a hard heart. And so God needed someone in the position of Pharaoh to have a hard heart to not let his people go after the first plague or the second plague or the third plague up to the 10th. Because once again, the reason why God allowed those 10 plagues was because each of them was a slap in the face and showing superiority over the gods that Egypt used to worship. And so once again, when you look at Exodus 9, he says in verse 16, that was his purpose. He says that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. That was the very purpose and the very reason for Pharaoh not letting the people of Israel go. That was it. And we have to be able to understand the context of which that was in. So in some way, possibly, if the government was trying to force you to do something against God's will, you might be able to make that application. But we still should be able to understand the context of which that was in. And once again, that was Exodus chapter 9 and towards the latter end, verses 12, 13 on to the end of the chapter.
In the New Testament, Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we must obey God rather than man. So the government must not ever cause us to think that we must obey the government over God. God trumps everything, even if it means death. The government was trying to get Jesus to no longer do what he did, and they would have let him live. No, he was going to teach the truth. And thus he died for us, that we might be able to live with him. Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the end of our broadcast today. We want you to know how much we truly appreciate you and your desire to know the truth, and to hope and pray that you have been benefited from our broadcast today as you go into the Bible to be able to find the things that pertain to life and godliness. Please know that you can continue to call the 553-5157 and be able to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course. So please don't hesitate about that. It is free. We will never ask for any kind of financial benefit at all. Please let us send you the treasure that is in God's Word. And until next week, this is Chuck and Ricky saying, let the Bible speak in your life.